Hi, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to the second part of the interview that we had with Eli Munoz. I hope you enjoy it. This next part, I'll be commenting on the last part that Eli commented in regards to wanting to be part of the family of God. So enjoy. Don't forget to like, share, and comment. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook to hear when new interviews are coming and new updates, since we're going to be moving to video pretty soon. Thank you so much and enjoy. You know, everything that we do, including our jobs, right? If you take a regular job, in order for us to receive a paycheck, we have to work.
Right.
And if you have a 9-to-5, 7-day week, well, 5-day work week, you have to work 5 days, 9-to-5, and do the job that you're supposed to do 9-to-5. If you lack, or if you go home early, you're going to get paid less. So you're disconnected. The more you disconnect, the more you start not having these disciplines of going there and being on time, you know, getting out on time, doing your work on time, doing the schedule, then everything starts falling aside. Next thing you know, you don't have a connection anymore with that job. You get unemployed, you know? Right. So it's like, we already have these disciplines. All we have to do is shift them to God, right? I went from having my own company that was successful, and I was worried. I'm like, Lord, what am I going to do? I'm not going to make them the same if I go into ministry, but there hasn't been a day where my kids haven't had anything to eat, a place to live, something to eat.
Awesome.
It's because I surrender it. I said, Lord, this is yours. You tell me what to do. And he puts me in ministry with two churches, and I'm like, cool, I'm happy. I'm even happier than when I was working for my own.
That's great. Yeah.
So God is big, brother. God is awesome.
No, my story, my testimony is kind of the same ways too. You know, even though I've been, with the church doing ministry for a long time, I actually had a career as well in telecommunications before I decided to go into full-time ministry. And that was kind of the same thing for me, you know. But once I was obedient and faithful to the call that God had in my life, we have never had any major need. You know, God has always provided, you know, every single one of my family's needs. And to that, I'm so grateful.
You know, it's that whole verse where if the birds in the air are eating,
yes,
why wouldn't I feed you?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's the value, right? If God gives value to a bird, to the smallest insect available in this world, why wouldn't He give you value? Mm-hmm. Like I don't know, mind blowing to me.
Yeah,
you totally. Know, when I came to be a Christian and I was accepted into the family and given the adoption, when He tells me in my heart, He's like, hey, I created you for a good purpose. I knew everything you were going to go through. I love you. That just changed my life, brother. I can't tell you. And I tell people all the time,
God,
you
good.
Gotta run to Him. I said, run to Him. You won't get a rejection. But if you run to someone in the street and you tell them, hey, would you love me? They're going to get you're going to get rejected. Possibly even the cops called, you know?
Right. Because hey, this person crazy? Yeah.
Yes. I can hear the passion in the way you speak, the way you refer to it. What moves you to seek scripture daily? What is it about it?
Yeah, you know, I've always, like I said, I've been in the church pretty much my whole life. And I'm glad you asked me that question, because I was actually reflecting on that, you know, recently. I think one of the most driving questions that I've had my whole life is, you know, who is God and what is He like? That has been just a natural thing that I've had. I'm sure that it's been fostered by my time, you know, in the church. But it's not just, you know, when I go to church or when I've been, you know, part of churches that I've been thinking about this. But it really is the one dominating question of my life. And so for me, what drives me to scripture is I just want to know God. You know, I want to know who He is, what He's like, you know, what He's done. That's first and foremost that one thing that drives me to scripture. But it also drives a lot of other things as well. You know, when I'm, counseling someone or discipling someone, or just meeting someone for the first time, or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, I'm always praying, God, you know, show me you through all of these things. And so I try my best to always keep my heart and my ears open, you know, to seeing God in everything. You know, if like we were talking about earlier, that, you know, all good things come from God, and everything good that we see in a way is an expression of who God is. Then I'm looking to that thing, you know. I'm being open and I'm being willing to learn, because for me, there just really is no other greater thing for me than to know God. For me, He is my, you know, He's the Creator. I accept Him and I confess Him as the Creator, you know, as my Savior, and that for me is the foundation, you know, of my life. And I'll tell you what, you know, once again, to encourage other, you know, listeners, you know, who are thinking maybe I still might be. I haven't convinced you that I'm not a super Christian. You know, I've had my times where I have, you know, just not, you know, taking care of my relationship with God the way I'm supposed to. And I've had issues, you know, in my marriage and with other things in my life. And even in those moments, I have still, like, there's, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, you know, working in me, but I am still wanting to know, you know, God, and I'm still wanting to even understand Him through whatever thing that, you know, trial or situation or that I'm going through. So that for me is what continually kind of drives me back to God, back to Scripture, back to a relationship with the church and fellowship with the church, which is something that we don't talk enough about, you know, when it comes to how to be successful, you know, in our relationship with God and in this journey of sanctification. You know, the church and people in the church are so critical and vital to that, you know. And that's why also, you know, I may have maintained, you know, throughout all these years, connected to the church, going to church, because I've seen God work through the people in the church to bless me, you know, and to grow me. And that kind of, once again, that drives me back. You know, it takes me back time, you know, week in and week out, knowing that God uses, you know, people in our lives to speak to us. So yeah, those are some of the things that kind of drive me. And I would say, you know, that's kind of the one question that really I almost think about on a daily basis.
Awesome. It's so cool to read Scripture in different moods and different seasons of our life, and it speaks differently. You know, one verse, sure, can speak to us so many ways in different seasons, but it's still yet encouraging and hopeful. That's what I love about Scripture. I don't think there's a verse in there that can provide anything besides that.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I tell people, you're hurting, read Job.
Sure.
You'll get out of it. I'm telling you, he'll take you through it. And it's a whole diamond thing. You know, sure, you want to be a diamond, you're going to be forged in pressure. You want to be a cubic zirconia, that's pretty easy. You know, you can, sure, fake your way through it, you know. But when, yeah, it comes to the real test, you're going to break. You know, you can, right, smash a cubic zirconia with a hammer. Try to do that with a regular diamond. It just doesn't happen. You know, a good friend of ours just recently lost his wife. And I was more broken than him. You know, I was, right, and not that he wasn't hurting, but the way God was taking him through the season and the assurance that he will see her again in heaven, for him was comforting. And not only that, sure, we were all going through something. I was going through some stuff, and I had to put my stuff aside to be for him. And that was a comfort I was given. You know, I was, right, you know, for a moment I was thinking, well, where is God for me? How come I'm not feeling like that? But as I was talking to my friend and the encouragement he was giving me, I'm like, wow, he's right here. He's right here with, man, us. It's so cool, brother. So thank you for all that info you've given, man, us.
This has been great so far.
What's your favorite verse? Why? And what's your understanding of it?
Sure. Well, I will confess, you know, that I am not the best at scripture memorization.
Me neither. Don't worry.
Yeah, that is an area. That's another discipline that I am hopefully going to start, you know, practicing. You know, my memory is starting to fail me little by little. But no doubt there is one verse that that I was kind of drilled into me. And once again, it's kind of one of those other verses, kind of like 1 Timothy 3, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That that is another foundational kind of pillar verse, you know, for me. And that's out of 2 Timothy 2:15. And once again, I know this verse because it was kind of one of the main verses at my college. I went to Moody Bible Institute. And this is kind of one of their main verses, and it says, you know, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. I think it says a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That is for me another one of those kind of pillar voices, one that gives me comfort, but at the same time challenges me to be ready, you know, to do the work that God has for me, and to not be ashamed. I know recently I've been feeling a little like, man, when it comes to what I'm doing in ministry, I'm like, man, is it making a difference? Do people care? You know, I've been really engaged with some of my neighbors, you know, recently, and it seems like they just don't want to hear about God. And so I'm like, man, should I continue, you know, to do this and pursue them? And but now as I think about, you know, even that verse, I'm like, no, you know, God has called me to work, and I don't need to be ashamed of that work, especially if God promises to go with me and to be with me. So yeah, so I would say, you know, 2 Timothy 2:15 would be one of those verses that that are super important to me.
That's an awesome verse, man, and it's true. Sometimes we got to keep digging at it, right? Because it's just, you know, keep telling them, like, hey, you know, God loves you, right?
Yeah.
And then, because that's I can tell you that was me.
Yeah.
People kept telling me, you know, God loves you. You should go to church. You know, you belong there. I'm like, no, I'm not a hypocrite. And when I finally got put on my knees by God, I'm like, man, if I would have listened to 10 years ago. But yeah, again, if it wasn't for all that, I tell people, look, my testimony would not be the same as yours, like you spoke earlier, right? Some of us will have an easier road than others. Others will have, you know, a hard road where we experience the depths of hell, but then we're rescued, because one day someone's going to sit in front of us. And I have that happen several times when I'm like, I know what you're going through, but let me tell you about the one who's going to rescue you.
Amen.
And we connect, you know, I connect with people that, you know, it's so cool. I can't stop talking about those, you know, because testimonies are awesome. I know we talked about a little bit about briefly books you're reading. Is there anything else you're reading, like devotionals, music, anything that connects you and feeds your soul?
Yeah, well, right now, like, I would say, just looking at what is things that I'm kind of digging into, I would say, obviously, first and foremost, scripture is so key. That's kind of an obvious one. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro is something that I pretty much committed to about a year ago, for it to be that second kind of main, you know, thing that I'm digging into next to scripture. There's so much, you know, one of the most important things there that Peter says is that, you know, for us as Christians and for leaders, it's impossible for us to be, you know, spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And that's so, I found when I read that, I was like, absolutely, just something clicked in my mind. It's the reason why sometimes we meet Christians who have been Christians, you know, for their whole lives, but are still sometimes struggling with certain things in their life. You know, it's because, yeah, they're saved, but there are certain things internally that they haven't really addressed, you know? And so that book has been really helpful for me to identify kind of those areas of my emotional life that God wants to talk to me and improve in me. You know, recently I've also gotten a lot into, you know, reading on productivity and habit forming. And so recently I've also read a book. It's not a Christian book, but it's a book about developing good habits. It's called Atomic Habits by James Clear. And once again, you know, that was a book that I'm finding extremely helpful because, like, once again, we can, you know, us as Christians, we have the tendency to like over spiritualize everything, you know, and sometimes we have this thing where it's just like, I'm fine with just me, God, and the Bible. And no doubt, I mean, that is all we need. But there are other resources and there are other practical things that I think it's okay to bring into our lives to help us to be very detailed about, you know, what it looks like to live, you know, a healthy life. And so so Atomic Habits is one of those books that I'm reading that's really, really been helpful for me. And the reason why is because, you know, I have a pretty hectic schedule. You know, I'm a full-time student, I'm a pastor, you know, I'm, like I said earlier, before all of that, I'm a father and I'm a husband. And all of, you know, if I'm going to do any of those things well, it's going to be only because I have good habits that are established in my life. And so that book, you know, kind of really, really helps me to do that. And yeah, I mean, I think right now I could probably share a couple more, but if I were to kind of recommend anything that I'm reading right now, it would be those two. And the only other one I would say is a book by Andy Crouch about technology, especially for families that are wanting to address maybe some issues that they see in their family's lives, you know, pertaining to technology. And that's called a book called The Tech Wise Family by Andy Crouch. And that's just been a great book that has helped my wife and I kind of see the dangers of screen time and more than just, you know, managing screen time for our family and for our children. It is, you know, helping us to put technology in its proper place, you know, in our lives. Because I'm sure you know that, you know, our devices and our computers and a bunch of other technologies, they have a unique power of kind of like dominating our lives. And so, so that book, A Tech Wise Family, is I'd highly recommend. So, yeah, I don't know if you want any more, but those right there, I would highly recommend for the audience.
Awesome. You know, I recommend a book to you. I think, I don't know if you have read it, actually. It's by it's a book from George Mueller. It was written about George Mueller. It's Man of Faith and Miracles. I actually have a copy I can email to you. It's an amazing book from the 1800s. It was this man that ran an orphanage because God told him to. And he never, he lived day by day. So every day he prayed, okay, Lord, next day we have so many kids, we need to feed them. Cool, let us know. And it just the power of faith that he had in prayer that every day was sufficed. It's an amazing short book, and it's all about prayer, surrendering, and obedience in the Lord. And again, it's just the whole Matthew, I will take care of you. You know, so cool. What is the last thing you do before you go to sleep? Like, everything's said, you know, family's rested, they're ready to go to sleep. But what is the last thing you do?
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, I'm really committed to, you know, beginning and ending my day in silence. Uh-huh. And so that really is the last thing, you know, that I do. I've been, you know, I started just by kind of laying in my bed and just, you know, closing my eyes and just kind of going into that, that, you know, that spirit of silence, like we talked about earlier. But I've also tried to recently, you know, even create my own posture of whether it's, you know, sitting on a chair that's close to my bed, or even kneeling down. And that's really kind of how, you know, my day ends. I think for me, I'm opening up at that particular time, the opportunity for God to just speak to me, you know, about anything that maybe went on in that day. You know, if there's anything that I need to address with any relationships, or, you know, a lot of times it really is just going back to, you know, what I read, you know, in the mornings, you know, whether it be recently about Matthew, or before I started reading Matthew, I was digging into the Psalms. So my day ends in the same way that it starts, you know, which is in silence. And I'm grateful because one of the things that I've realized in terms of kind of, you know, having these, you know, these disciplines in my life is that, you know, I've been sleeping a lot better. You know, before, I don't know if you ever had this experience when you were maybe not engaging in some of these spiritual disciplines, but it took me a long time, you know, to go to sleep. So I would actually end my day just on my phone, you know, watching something on YouTube or something like that. And it, thank God, you know, that God opened up a new way for me to end my day. And now I've noticed that I can almost immediately, the moment that I kind of close that time of silence, I knock out immediately, you know. And so, so yeah, man, that's how I end my day.
Cool. Yeah, it's different. I have my own discipline. I just love saying thank you. That's all. I say thank you so much. And when I forget, I do toss and turn. Wakes me up at 1 a.m. and I'm like, yes, I forgot. Sorry. Yes, I was like, thank you. And then next thing you know, I'm right back to sleep, you know. And again, you know, that's the thing is, it's something important you said is we're not perfect. We're just trying every day. That these are disciplines that we're trying to form constantly to make it a habit. So we're deeply connected, right? It doesn't make us perfect. It's just we know we're going to fall short. So might as well include this. So we are, you know, in that mercy and grace that he provides. You know, we don't want to get arrogant about it and say, oh, we're perfect. We got this. And, you know, that's not what this is about.
No, not at all.
What is one area you're looking to surrender and why? Or are you currently surrendering?
An area of my life that I'm surrendering, I would say, I think right now, my wife and I, we, you know, we've been married for almost 13 years now. And, you know, I have, we've had our, you know, I'm sure like every, you know, married couple, we've had our ups and our downs. And I have really struggled, you know, in our marriage with certain things. About just the way that God has wired us, you know, God has wired. I'm so grateful, you know, for those couples and marriages that are, you know, wired similarly, but my wife and I are not, you know, and we're different. We're the opposites that have attracted to each other. And so, you know, right now I realize that I have to surrender, you know, trying to, you know, change my wife, you know, if I'm just being absolutely honest and frank. I think that my tendency sometimes is, I'm a fixer, you know, that's kind of the way I'm wired. I'm very kind of analytical. And, when I see something that I think is broken, my first kind of tendency is to try to fix it. And my wife has kindly reminded me that she's no one, she's not broken. She doesn't need to be fixed, you know, that I have to essentially surrender to God, you know, that thing of trying to always be a fixture. So I would say that right now is probably the number one thing, you know, that I am constantly surrendering to God, that to help me to just, you know, love my wife, you know, for who she is and the way that God has uniquely, you know, wired her, and knowing and trusting that that's exactly the person that God has wanted for me, you know. And that there's no other woman on the face of the earth that that can complete me, you know, and that God designed for me to be with than her.
Sorry about that. I lost you there. I lost you for a few seconds and it'll reconnect it. I think the last thing I heard was the part of the bride that we're trying to fix them. And
You're breaking up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Somehow we got a little disconnected on that last part. The last thing I heard was we were talking about your bride and the part you were surrendering, not trying to fix her.
Sure. Sure. Did you want to just ask that question again and then I'll answer it?
Yeah. 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 Please.
Okay.
What is one area you seek to surrender and why?
Well, I would say, you know, recently, that one area that I'm seeking to surrender pertains to my marriage. and particularly about me kind of surrendering my natural tendency to be a fixer. That's kind of been my thing. I've been a technician, I've been working in technology, and that's just the way God has wired me, you know, to kind of be a fixer. But my wife has kindly and lovingly reminded me that she's not broken, you know, and she doesn't need to be fixed. That actually it's me that I have to, you know, surrender and give up and trust God, you know, that she is the person that God has designed for me to be with, you know. And I've come to love and appreciate the way that she's uniquely been, you know, created by God and wired. And though I would say that we are definitely, you know, opposites that have attracted, I've been coming to the realization that, you know, she is exactly, you know, who I need to be doing life with, and that that I just got to surrender me trying to. If I'm just being honest, me trying to manipulate, you know, things in a way that get what I want. And that's just not healthy, you know, for a marriage. And it's not healthy, you know, for me. And so I constantly am praying. I even have asked, you know, good friends of mine and some mentors in my life to continue, you know, to pray for me in terms of my marriage. And I think that's so important. You know, marriage is such a huge deal, you know, nowadays, with people almost getting married and getting divorced immediately. And I think that a lot of the reasons why we're experiencing some of these issues in our marriage is because we're not being transparent and being real, you know, about the struggles and how hard it is, you know, to be married and to stay married. And I think that if we can get to a place where we are doing this right, talking about those areas that we need surrendering and being honest about those areas, that there's always going to be this thing where we're just always trying to, you know, get a remedy and a remedy and a remedy, instead of, you know, working into our lives these disciplines that help us to surrender as an act of prevention. You know, if we can prevent an issue before it starts, that's kind of the goal. You know, it's not to just, you know, experience these bad things and then try to fix them. No, it's to be proactive and prevent, you know, some of these things. And so for me, definitely surrendering that in my marriage has been absolutely, you know, huge for me right now.
Thank you for being vulnerable, brother. And I think that is highly important, because even mentors that I have, you know, they tell me, sometimes they call me, I'm like, hey, I'm struggling today, I did some stupid, you know, pray with me, join me in prayer. And just knowing that out there, there's Christian couples that are not perfect, they're still struggling, that just motivates other couples to say, we can fight this fight. We just have to have the same catalyst, which is Jesus.
Yes.
You know, amen. So hearing that is just motivating that at all stages of marriage, we can do this. We just have to work together. And like you say, I resonate with what you said. Me and my wife are complete opposites. We even laugh differently. We even blink differently, you know. And I tell her sometimes, I'm like, man, the way you blink is just annoying. And she's like, yeah, the way you looked at me is annoying. But, you know, it's just, I love her differently. You know,
yeah.
The way I loved her 6 years ago is not the way that I love her today. The way I love her yesterday is not the way I love her today. It's because I'm looking at her in a different light, looking at her as an image bearer, but also that what my fight is not against her, it's against principalities. Right. Well, so when she attacks me, it's not her attacking me, it's the enemy using her, you know. And I just have to give her grace and mercy and walk with her and help her through that. You know, that's what we're called to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, part of this area of my life that I'm surrendering is the, you know, Jesus telling me, hey, listen, you're not all that, brother. You know, you're not Mr. Perfect either. I'm sure if someone was to talk to your wife, she'll have a list of things that she wished she can fix in you too, you know.
Oh yeah. She'll have a novel of all the things you gotta fix. That's what I feel, you know.
Sometimes she can write a dictionary. Yeah.
Tell my friends that I, when, you know, when God wants to laugh, he turns into the Pablo channel, and then he's like, oh, there he goes again with the same thing. But, you know, it's that moment, you know. And I thank my wife, you know, and I tell her, there's no one else that will put up with my stupidities. I can tell you that. So I love you for that. For just being able to do that, you know, for giving me the grace and mercy. Because if it was up to her, I think we would be long gone. But she's stuck, you know.
I'll continue to pray for you guys.
Thank you. We'll do the same for you guys. And we got to pray for each other too. Because you're right. People divorce out of nowhere. You know, it's like, you didn't serve me dinner. Boom, divorce. Like, it's just that simple now. You know, there is no, the marriage is just no longer valued. It's seen as something, as a paper cup. It's like, you use it once, cool, I can go find another cup now. It's incredible. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how people can do that. I don't know how people can abandon their family and not fight hard for their family, you know? Yeah. But then, I mean, there is other scenarios where it's just impossible to fight anymore. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a firm believer that they can get through it, you know, if they involve Jesus. Mm-hmm. What is one thing you want to leave behind for the listeners? Something you want them to hear?
I would say, you know, for everyone who's listening, no matter, you know, where you are and what stage of you are in your relationship with God, whether you just became a Christian or whether you've been a Christian, you know, your whole life, is just to remind, you know, you of what we spoke about earlier, you know, that if you're wanting to grow in your relationship with Christ, and if you are wanting to, you hear, you know, Pablo and I talking about these spiritual disciplines, and you might be, you know, thinking, man, I'm not there. You know, I just can't have that kind of life right now. My thing is just to remind you of what we talked about earlier, is that this all begins with acknowledging that God is the source of all good. You know, I think that if we try to fill any other thing, you know, try to fill this life and our pursuits of happiness with any other thing that's not God, it's gonna bound to fail. It's gonna bound to disappoint. You know, it might bring a little bit of happiness, right? But it's not true happiness. You know, it really is just another form of trying to escape, you know, from the real problems and the real issues that we're facing in our hearts. And I want to encourage, you know, everyone that God is, you know, a good father, and he loves us like no one ever can and no one ever will. And he's that source of life for all of us. And I think, you know, scripture, you know, one thing that we can see in scripture is that God has proven time and time again that he blesses those, you know, who follow him and who seek him and who are obedient to him. And like we said also earlier, you know, if you're wanting to grow deeper in, you know, in your relationship with God, you know, some of the things that we talked about on the episode is not just like this, you know, good advice, right? Good spiritual advice. It really is an opportunity for you to come into loving union and communion, you know, with God. And it really is on us to open up those spaces of our lives so that God can speak into them and to do beautiful, beautiful things in them. So that's what I would say to all you who are listening.
And that's deep. You know, that is simple, deep, and to the point. So we thank you for that. Before we close out in prayer, brother, is there something you want to share so they can, you know, follow you through the podcast that you have with the church? You want to invite them? Anything you want to share with us in regards to that?
Absolutely. You know, like I said earlier, I'm part of an amazing church here in West Palm Beach in Lake Worth, Florida. And you can find us at sunlightcommunitychurch.com as well as sunlightlakeworth.com. We have a pretty awesome podcast, Pastor Chris, who's a senior pastor, a podcast called Suncast. And you can follow us there. We're on YouTube, you know, Twitter, Spotify. So you can just type in Suncast and I'm sure it'll pop up for you. We've done some episodes together, some interviews, and you guys can get to know, you know, our ministry here a little bit better. And yeah, you know, I would love if any of your audience, you know, wants to connect with me, you know, one-on-one, I'll leave it to you, Pablo, to leave my email and the description there, and they can, you know, feel free to email me. And I'd love to connect with anyone who wants to connect.
Awesome. I'll put some links up in the description of this episode. And, you know, let's hope that someone that's either struggling or wanting to begin, they can say, hey, I can reach out to this person, and you can assist them in any way to guide them to Jesus.
Absolutely.
Would you mind closing us out in prayer?
Sure. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today. We thank you, Lord, because you are a good, good Father. We acknowledge that without you, we have nothing. We have no true joy. We have no true happiness, Lord. I thank you for all those who are listening who have found this truth, Lord. I pray that you would continue to encourage them in their journey with you, that you would continue to provide for them all of their needs, Lord. And God, for those who are struggling, that you would be the healer, Lord, that you would be the miracle worker that you are in their lives, Lord, and that they would not lose hope in whatever they're dealing with, Lord. And I pray for those who may be listening who don't know you, Lord, or maybe who have followed you and haven't done it in a long time, God, that you would remind them that it's never too late to turn back. It's never too late to come to you, Lord. Your grace is unending and is always willing to meet us, you know, where we are. So I thank you for my brother Pablo, Lord, and for this ministry. I pray that it would continue to reach, you know, thousands and thousands of people, Lord, for your glory and your honor alone. And I pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that beautiful prayer.
Thank you for having me.
Please give our love to your family, and thanks for letting you set aside this time to provide us with some insight and wisdom and a closer look into your life. I hope that some of these listeners can get that and be joyful in that. Okay, brother?
Thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
That is the end of part two. Thank you so much for tuning back on and finishing this interview. I hope you are filled as much as I was filled through this interview. What an amazing follower of Christ. Just amazing wisdom. Hopefully you got the same that I did, that we can do this. Anyways, thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode and any of our episodes on social media. You can find us at Benching in the Kitchen. Drop us a message there, a note, a review, a question, or if you want to be interviewed, reach out to us at rescueforgivensaved@gmail.com. Once again, thank you so much for listening. May God bless you on your path, and may you be encouraged and bold in Christ. Thank you so much, guys. Till the next episode.